This is Pure Decking for show number 324 for Thursday, October something. Anyways, this is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and you know what? I'm just leaving the Pac-Man sound pitched down at half speed now from now on. That's a thing. It got saved that way.
I thought that was off.
Yeah, it's got saved that way. I'm just leaving it. Fuck it. Morps. I'm Morps. I'm drinking Eagle Rare, and tonight I have Suave. What is Suave drinking?
Hello, and tonight I am drinking Alexander Keith's India Pale Ale.
Excellent. And we have Are You?
Yes, I'm drinking Extract of a Cloud.
I didn't know you got juice from Amazon servers.
Nobody made that one, so I don't have a fancy label. I am drinking it out of a bucket.
It says Australia Department of Water. You here's your bill for $89.95.
Department of Water and Emu Wrangling.
Free-range craft cloud juice.
Emus are actually kind of dangerous. You wouldn't think it to look at them, but
they'll kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a guy show me a scar one time. There's a place not terribly far from here where they've got a bunch of Australian wildlife and kind of a zoo, and the guy showed me a scar one time from the thing on his arm. It gashed him pretty good.
They get a raptor's claw.
Yeah, but you never see it because everybody always thinks they're going to peck at you.
Yeah, the head comes forward, the legs are coming out.
So, anyways, there is only one story we can start with tonight. And I actually am kind of light on stories, but that's okay because this one might take us a bit to get through. Bloomberg Businessweek has a hell of an article here. And it's pretty lengthy. So as opposed to reading the whole thing out, I'm just going to kind of give the overview of it. Back in 2015, Amazon was working with a startup company called Elemental Technologies. They were designing servers specifically for high-speed video transcoding and streaming. These servers would later become the base of Amazon Prime, and Amazon actually, or Prime Video. And Amazon did end up purchasing the company, and they resell these systems to all kinds of companies because it's like really good video streaming technology, like including the government using it for like conference calls, as well as like the military using it for drone video and surveillance video, and several of course Silicon Valley companies and banks using it just for managing video. And so what this company was doing was they had written out their software, and then they had customized servers from Supermicro, which not uncommon. A lot of people buy servers from Supermicro, especially when they're basically being resold as appliances, right? Well, here's the thing. Supermicro gets almost all of their hardware from China. And they started noticing strange packets and strange network traffic they couldn't explain from servers that weren't activated or they were just hooked up. They weren't doing anything yet. But they were pinging out, and they were, connecting to Chinese IPs and weird shit like that. And they're trying to figure this out. It's like, how did these machines get owned that fast, right? And they've discovered that inside of, in some cases, they've got these microchips. They've made microprocessors that in some cases look like other components on the board. like, you know, electric filters or electric fil- I'll say it right eventually. But yeah, the little filter caps, or silk screened into the circuit boards.
Awesome.
Like in between the layers of silkscreen for the multi-layer PCB.
You ever seen the TV show Halt Catch Fire?
No, but you've told me I should.
It sounds like exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They just took the casing of an existing computer and, you know, took the internals of another one and jammed it in there.
Oh, no.
Said, hey.
No. This isn't...
Disguised it to look like something else.
No, that's like what the NSA and shit does, is they'll intercept it in the middle of the shipping system and put other things in it. This is... The only way to do this is as part of the manufacturing process.
Oh, they've layered it into the chip?
Into the circuit boards, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, like, you know, the green thing?
Yeah.
Dude, pull that's up the link and look at some of the pictures of the chips.
Okay. So I watched a small,
I can't help but feel that the picture is, like, stock photo or something.
It might be, but they show that same picture a lot.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but I'm not convinced that's a picture of a Chinese spy chip.
I don't know, because they got, like, comparisons showing it next to a penny. I mean, you might be right, but anyways.
I'm not a specialist, so I wouldn't know what I'm looking at.
I mean, it's got six pins. That could be a microprocessor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and what it's doing is not... It's not like it's got like a full Arduino or anything in there, right? What it's actually doing is it's hooked into the DMA lines of the process or of the system, so that it can insert a tiny bit of code into the bootloader, so that it can, you know, take over these machines and get the malware on them. So really, all that circuit's doing is opening up an entryway. It's not that's not the entire process. That's the foot in the door,
right.
So that modifies system memory as the machine's booting, so that you know
opens it up and like sends out a signal saying like, hey, here's
hey, they've
door.
Put Windows 2000 on it, hey, they've put some custom build of Red Hat on it, here's my IP, here's how you can get back to me, kind of thing.
So you're a bad actor in this point. You just go along the list of, hey, I need that machine. That machine's got what I want on it. That one there.
They actually name the
vulnerable machines.
They actually name the People's Liberation Army.
Wow.
Yeah, they name it. Apple is affected. 30 companies, including a major bank, government contractors, and Apple Inc. Because apparently Apple had bought several Supermicros to run their iCloud stuff. So... Here's the thing. They found them in Supermicro, because Supermicro supplies servers to lots of people. They actually, in the article, compare them. They say they're the Microsoft of hardware or server hardware, which is true. So but they're only talking about it, finding it in these one servers. Supermicro aren't the only servers that are made in China. They did say that because most of the business of Supermicro is conducted in Mandarin, because that's where they get most of their engineers from, and that's where the founder's from. And apparently they have meetings twice, the first one in English for the people who don't speak Chinese, and then the rest of them, where they get anything done, is all done in Mandarin. So, you know, it's not like the Chinese government's going to have a hard time understanding. Like, if I go hacking into a Chinese company, I've got to throw the entire thing I'm doing through Google Translate, right? I don't know Chinese. But, you know, if they're all working in English, hey, you can just make out what they got. So this is just kind of the reverse of that.
You guys don't even speak English properly. The fuck are you gonna read Chinese?
Speak English and bad English. Usually it's bad English because I get tired of doing the British accent. But I'm just wondering when we're going to start finding these chips in other things.
They're in other things, I'm telling you now.
Of course they are.
One thing to point out, though,
go ahead.
Both Amazon and Apple
deny
that any compromised chips were in any of their servers.
Well, they have to. Think of the stock price.
Yeah.
But or they might be saying things like, well, oh yeah, we had these, but we haven't deployed them. But so but,
like that, it just kind of goes to show you, like, this is one of the biggest companies. Think about all the other companies making electronics and stuff out there.
Oh, dude.
And if they're like a smaller company, they'd be even easier to get.
Well, they actually have some speculation in the article here, talking to anonymous sources and all that fun stuff, that basically the People's Liberation Army came into these factories and said, you're doing this or there will be issues. And my understanding is, in China, when the army tells you to do something, you do it because so you don't get black bagged or your family doesn't get black bagged.
Yeah.
So, and I think, the timing of this is interesting because they say they started, once they found it, which apparently they found it, when Obama was still president, and they were working with his administration on what to do about it. Now they're continuing that work with the Trump administration. But I'm wondering before, with this kind of stuff, if, even if it's not real, even if it's totally made up, I could see companies and the government saying, okay, no, we can't have any Chinese manufactured servers.
Oh, yeah.
Which means the cost of servers is going to go through the roof. But
well, only the cost of non-Chinese servers.
Yeah.
This is a good reason on why we shouldn't have pulled apart our manufacturing plants for this stuff. I know America didn't really make chips, but now's your chance to get back into making servers.
We did have some chip fab plants back in the 80s. Commodore made all their stuff.
Here's a question. Would the American government be able to go to the manufacturers and be like, hey, put these in your system or there's going to be problems?
Who are you more afraid of?
So here's the thing. Theoretically, the CIA has already tried to do that. And, but they were trying to do it at a software level. Like, they were going to the Linux kernel developers and Microsoft and Apple saying, we need these backdoors. And we actually saw some of the court battles because of some of this. Whereas in China, the opportunity to sue the government and say, I'm not doing this crazy shit, they'll just shoot you, put the next guy in charge and say, you're doing this.
Right.
So I'm not saying it wouldn't happen if it was manufactured stateside. I think the opportunity for it to happen is significantly reduced. But it could still happen.
To be honest, I would rather China spy on me than my own government. What are they going to do to me from over there?
They're going to give you a social score and make it impossible to fly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but I'm not going to China. I'm not speaking out against China online. I have literally nothing to worry about from China.
Oh, Cycros points out the national security letters. That's a very good point. So, I'm not saying our own government wouldn't do it. In fact, depending on looking back through some of our recent ruling regimes, you might say, I wouldn't put it past any of our previous four presidents. So five. I think from Bush Senior forward, I think any of them would have done it.
Right.
Well,
I'm not worried about my government spying on me, man. We can't even keep a prime minister for longer than a year and a half.
I wasn't a big fan. Wasn't a big fan of Bill Clinton. He might not have done it. I don't know. I'm not certain he'd understand it. But I don't know. You're going to run into this. You're right. You could have this issue anywhere something is made. And this is where it really gets down to. They caught it because of the weird network traffic. So if you're running any operation of size and you're dealing with information that is sensitive enough that you're worried about nation states or, I guess any hacking group could particularly.
Well, you can sort of see it like you're going to actually start buying hardware depending on the ideology of the government that is being produced in that country. So are you for a full authoritarian communist government, or do you want to go with the wishy-washy open American freedom company? You know what I mean? That's what it's going to come down to. Because let's face it, we're all being spied on. And if the government isn't spying on us, it's not doing its job.
It's an interesting view. Now, in this case, they were specifically trying to get into companies and other governments. They're not really targeting individuals. So the idea that these things are in laptops and phones, probably not so much. But
this is stealing intellectual property rights.
If they're in every laptop coming out of China, then they have everyone.
Could be.
Dude, anyone connected to the internet's getting pwned. I don't care how security fucking conscious
you are. There used to be a time when you only had to worry about the software side of things.
Yeah.
And if your system got popped, I'll just reinstall Windows and everything's fine. That's no longer the case.
Now we just take the whole box outside, put lighter fluid all over it, and dance around naked while it's on fire. It's the only way to be sure, man. Nuke it from space.
So, Suave, I just want to make sure I understand. You're advocating a return to Commodore 64s and other 8-bit computers as opposed to the modern computing era. I'm okay with this, by the way.
You're misunderstanding me.
Intentionally for comedy, but yes, keep going.
No, we need to go back to the abacus and slate chalkboards.
Fuck yeah.
I can't hack that shit.
Dude, can we take female rights back to that far as well? I'm living in fucking hog heaven at that point. That's the problem. Like, is foreseeing the future is you're going to have a decent understanding of what you're actually putting in your main rig now and who's making the parts.
Yeah.
And really, how self-interested do you have to be to believe that the Chinese government are spying on you?
Well, I mean, if you're Amazon, if you're Apple, if you're RSA, I could see it.
As an endpoint user of this stuff, like in my life.
Oh, yeah, but if you're working for a certain company or...
I am just taking my example, as myself, RU46. I'm not that fucking, self-indulgent to believe that the Chinese government would actually know who the fuck I am.
Yeah.
Is it bad to think that? Into their country is it bad that I think they might know who I am?
Well, I don't want to get into it because then we'll end up flying too close to the sun.
I mean, you're free to tell me I'm paranoid. It's fine. I just it occurred to me that they might actually know who I am. Fuck.
I'll tell you why they do after this show, but they don't care.
They don't know.
You are not on the radar of the People's Republic.
I'm thinking of the company I work for, but okay.
That's on their radar, but you yourself, they have your name and your station, but that's it. They don't fucking know who you are, man.
Cypros, he said yes because of the Digital Dojo intro.
Well, you go lick his butt somewhere else, Cypros. I'm trying to deflate his fucking head, and there you go, fucking adding PSI, motherfucker. You're not that special, Morps.
Wait,
just
what?
Just telling you.
Fuck. But in all seriousness, I would be less concerned about these kind of chips in laptops and desktops and phones. But more so in other brands of servers. I mean, okay, they got Supermicro. Where does Dell get their servers made? Where does HP get their servers made?
Same company, different time, different door.
Pretty much. I mean, most of it's coming out of Foxconn. So yeah. I think what this is actually saying is that they got into Foxconn and said, you're doing this.
Well, they've done that for ages, man. Foxconn during the day are like making legitimate product. And by night they move the other workers in that are making the knockoff stuff. It's the exact same part.
Yeah. So here's something else to think about, though. If they are truly doing this at the level they're doing this at, to pull this off, to slip these microchips in there, microchips, and to be able to intercept system memory in the way they do to open up these back doors, they have to have full schematics. They have to know the architecture of these machines and the CPUs, which means they have to have a level of access to this technology that is frightening and that violates all kinds of trade secrets.
I'll bet dollar for dollar that the Chinese government have all that.
Well, I mean, a lot of these companies just gave it to them so they could operate in China. So
exactly. But also, too, for them to do this, man, this is some White Cat patent fucking James Bond villainry. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
This is super level spy shit. And the fact that they've been caught out and these servers are still in operation makes me think. It's the old noggin jogging, if you know what I mean.
You think they're setting it up so they can play with the tariffs and shit like that?
No, I'm not saying anything like that. I think Apple and those who are affected is like, well, we can't really say fucking no. That's a big market. If we kick off about this, we're going to piss the Chinese off. And everybody's trying to suck the cock of their digital market to get in there. Mr. Windows. Yeah, fucking Google. But everybody's trying to get into that, you know, what, billion people fucking market that's emerging into a very powerful economic force.
I think they'd be trying to get into the Indian market before the Chinese. Because India's got a lot of...
India, the biggest holdback there is infrastructure, my friend.
Mm, that's a good point.
India and Pakistan, their infrastructure level, just look at their power network to start with.
Well, those pictures of their power poles are usually terrifying.
Yeah, there's a lot of Chinese money in Asia right now being used to clean up all those overhead power lines and stuff like that, like in the Philippines, places like that. Yeah, but India and Pakistan, although they have the people, their infrastructure just is non-existent. There's no sewers, you know, the power lines are strung everywhere. I think most of their internet is done mobily. Mobily?
Is that it is.
Most of their internet is like mobile phone. I don't think it's hardline connect unless it's government infrastructure or something. Mm. I could be wrong, man. I could be wrong. I have never been to India or Pakistan. I would like to go to Pakistan. Northern Pakistan.
Don't know.
I hear they have amazing jungle gyms.
You want to do some training while you're over there?
A little exercise. I wouldn't call it training, per se.
Sir, are you injured?
I will be the next time I fly into the United States.
Oh.
Sir, help is on the way.
Probably shouldn't be making jokes like this when I'm only, you know, 7 months out from my trip.
So we've managed to correlate your identity off the stupid ass internet podcast we make Larry listen to. Larry hates us, by the way.
Well, exactly. How important am I? The American government knows my name. This is a real thing, a real problem though. How big a problem? Who knows?
So
like, would you be happy with this stuff in your network, Morps?
God no.
How do you think corporate would take it if you went up and said, look, we found this. We're going to have to spend quite a bit of money. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, they would deny it publicly for reasons of stock price, and then they would quietly start working on a remediation plan.
You hope or?
No. See, here's the really fun part about the industry I'm working in now. If the regulators even caught a sniff of something like that existing, the fines would shut the company down. And there's enough money there that that's a significant statement.
Okay.
So, no, they would eventually get it fixed. Now, it might be a plan to get it fixed for a while while they try to figure out what to do about it. But ultimately, it would have to be addressed. Now, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be addressed by putting filters and not replacing the servers, like, you know, just going nuts with firewall rules and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But, you know, this is another good point. They're going through a lot of trouble to hide this. I'm wondering how many people would notice it if, you know, they just, you know, hot snotted a freaking Raspberry Pi inside of some of these things. A lot of times people never open up their servers, especially the appliances. Unless they have to, like, swap out the RAM or something. But since most machines come pre-configured, I've seen a lot of places they never open the servers before they install them. I mean, you know, you could have racks of other machines inside of these servers, and you'd never know that they're there. So, at least until you started getting weird network traffic and extra IPs and things like that. In fact, most servers do have a small second computer in them for IPMI. So
Bloomberg, congratulations on doing some actual journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I can't watch Bloomberg. I don't know if you've ever watched Bloomberg TV. It's like this tiny little window with two people talking in it and then just stock market shit everywhere. It hurts to watch.
Well, I mean, that's what all TV is going to be eventually. It'll just be the ads scrolling instead of the stock market stuff.
Big ass fries. Oh, good story, man.
So, all right, let's move on to this next one. It is from Business Insider. And it's just comical. There's a big new feature for iPhone experts this year. It's an app called Shortcuts. With a little bit of logic and know-how, you can stitch together several apps to create a script that can be activated by pressing a button or using Siri. By the way, you can do the same thing on Android with Tasker, and you've been able to do it for a long time. But I'm more reading this article because I think it's hilarious. Some early uses are predictable, like saving Instagram photos, sharing songs you've listened to, or creating a morning routine that activates your lights and plays a song. But Robert Peterson of Arizona has developed a more serious shortcut. It's called Police, and it monitors police interactions so you have a record of what happened.
What?
Yeah. Once the shortcut is installed and configured, you just have to say, for example, "Hey Siri, I'm being pulled over." And the program pauses the music you're playing, turns down the brightness of the iPhone, and turns on Do Not Disturb mode. It also sends a quick text to a predetermined contact to tell them that you've been pulled over. And it starts recording using the iPhone's front-facing camera. Once you've stopped recording, you can text or email the video to a different predetermined contact or save it to Dropbox.
Why are they encouraging stupidity?
I just love the "Hey Siri, I'm getting pulled over." Because I could just see the corporate execs at Apple like, "What? We already know. What do you care?" You've been able to do shit.
To enable stupid?
Yeah. You've been able to do shit like this for a while with a few different applications. This Shortcuts app's not actually all that unique. On iOS, there's one called Workflows that does something largely similar. And, of course, on Android, there's Tasker. And if it's a rooted Android, you know, just write your own Python script or something. But, so it's not like... It's not like this is all that unique. It's more just this is the first time the person who wrote the article saw it and has gone nuts. So let's see. It seems to me that if you're getting pulled over, it couldn't hurt to have a recording of the incident, Peterson said in a direct message on Tuesday. They're not even saying Twitter anymore, just direct message. The police these days in many places have body cams, so this should be the civilian equivalent. The idea of a hands-free mobile app for fraught interactions isn't new. In 2012, the American Civil Liberties Union and others have developed apps to record and live stream encounters with the police. While he didn't base the shortcuts on existing apps, Peterson said he was inspired by projects by digital rights groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's difficult to tell how many people have downloaded the shortcut, but it's the third most popular of all time on the burgeoning subreddit dedicated to sharing shortcut recipes, and it's been widely covered in Apple enthusiast press. It's on version 1.4, and changes so far have focused on bug fixes and support for additional services like iCloud. Peterson said that most responses he'd received since posting the shortcut in September have been positive, and some people have told him they want to adapt it to a potentially dangerous dangerous situations. Some people say they've had issues in the past with the police, and one woman planned on using the shortcut to help with a stalker she was having issues with, or an ex-boyfriend, so that she could send her location to the family quickly should anything occur. So, and they go on talking about how great this Shortcuts app is. So, really, this is kind of an ad for that Shortcuts app. But I just... Siri, I'm being pulled over. And Apple's just like, we know, Dave. So, I mean...
Well, it's not a bad idea.
It's not. And you could build this with lots of things, so...
You're a serial abuser of Siri, you know, getting into do all sorts of shit. Siri, I'm being pulled over. Playing Fuck the Police, Dave. It starts playing Fuck the Police, you know? What if your phone gets vindictive? Really starts messing with you.
Oh, it would be great to make a joke version of
Siri, I'm being
that.
Pulled over. Looking for animal porn.
It just starts playing random 911 calls on YouTube. there's lots of stuff you could build this kind of crap in. I just love the concept, and obviously it's the first time the author ever ran into this.
If you've got a friend who likes this stuff, yeah, reprogram their phone to play Fuck the Police when they're getting pulled over.
Fuck the Police, and then have it start bringing up the weirdest porn it can find.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to Bill? Oh, he got beaten down and nightsticked. He's in the hospital.
Remember that Python script I was fucking with? Yeah, that's how he ended up in a coma. played Fuck the Police, then it played Cop Killer.
I'd feel kind of bad about that. I don't know about you. Kind of bad.
He's not a sovereign traveler anymore. He's unconscious.
Yeah, the phone just starts blaring, I am a sovereign citizen. I am a sovereign citizen. Just right in the, it waits a minute and a half, and then a Siri voice comes up. Officer, am I free to go? I don't care about the human.
Siri, starts screaming, I do not consent to search. I do not consent to search.
Oh, God, how does that work? Wait a minute. The phone is not consenting to search. The phone is not sentient, but it's not consenting. What do we do?
There's one for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, somebody ask Kavanaugh how he'll deal with that one. I'm just curious.
Not asking the right questions.
Fuck.
Dude, someone's going to write the sentient virus where it just fucks with your phone. Everything you want your phone to do, the phone just refuses and does the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was a GLaDOS voice pack for TomToms. I think it was TomToms years ago. And what they had done, because GLaDOS was the bad guy in the Portal games, and it lied to you a lot. So they recorded it so that, when the instructions were actually turn left, it would say, you should turn right. I mean left. So
that's not going to cause an accident.
No, but I mean, they had a bunch of these, and it was apparently random whether it would lie to you or not. So,
wow,
yeah.
Things I don't need in my life for 500, Bill.
It's a GPS lying to you. Oh, fuck. Anyways.
Hell, I've got my wife if I want to go in the wrong direction. I'll ask her.
Anyways. Let's go on to the next one here. Did I post a link already? I did. Awesome. This one is from the Zionist Vice News motherboard, motherboard.vice.com. I don't have the Vice News sound effect loaded anymore, so you just have to settle for Suave saying the Zionist Vice News.
Nope.
Okay. Well. Anyways.
I'm not your soundboard, Morps.
Hashtag. I'm pretty sure we can weave this into some sort of gender studies thing.
Hashtag not all soundboards. Now.
Yeah.
A new study shows that after years... Okay, let's try this again. A new study shows that after years of declines, BitTorrent usage and piracy is on the rise again. The culprit, an increase in exclusivity deals that force subscribers to hunt and peck among a myriad of streaming services to actually find the content they're looking for. Sandvine's new Global Internet Phenomenon report offers some interesting insight into user video habits and the internet, such as the fact that more than 50% of internet traffic is now encrypted. Video now accounts for 58% of all global traffic, and Netflix alone comprises 15% of all internet downstream data consumed. But there's another interesting tidbit buried in the firm's report. After years of steady decline, BitTorrent usage is once again growing. According to Sandvine, the file sharing accounts for 3% of global downstream and file sharing accounts for 3% of global downstream and 22% of upstream traffic, with 97% of the traffic in turn being BitTorrent. While BitTorrent is often used to distribute ordinary files, it remains the choice du jour for those looking to distribute trade copyrighted content online, made easier via media PCs running Kodi and Select plugins. Really? You went straight to Kodi? I mean, really? Most people still run seed boxes out of DigitalOcean. Come on. Back in 2011, Sandvine said that BitTorrent accounted for 52% of all upstream traffic on fixed bandwidth networks in North America. By 2015, BitTorrent's share of upstream traffic on those networks had dipped to 26.83%, largely thanks to the rise in quality, inexpensive streaming service streaming alternatives to piracy. But Sandvine notes that the trend is now slightly reversing, with BitTorrent traffic rising again worldwide. This is especially true in the Middle East, Europe, and Africa, where BitTorrent accounts for 32% of all upstream traffic. One major reason for BitTorrent's rising popularity, annoying exclusivity streaming deals. More sources than ever are producing exclusive content available on a single streaming or broadcast service. Game of Thrones on HBO, House of Cards for Netflix, and Handmaid's Tale for Hulu, or Jack Ryan for Amazon. Sandvine's Cam Collins said in a blog post, to get access to all of these services, it's very expensive for consumers, so they subscribe to one or two and pirate the rest, Colin said. Pretty much, if you're going to pirate, you're probably
going to... It's not so much about price, it's about availability.
Yeah, it's just like, obnoxious at that point.
Well, and not even that, but like here in Canada, for example, let's say I want to watch Game of Thrones when it comes out. Basically, my only option is to get... Like, there's no cable company where I live.
Sure.
The only thing I could get is like the Bell satellite TV service. And that's like a minimum of like $70 a month. And then you got to add HBO on top of that. So you're looking at about $100 a month. And only after you have the Bell service can you actually subscribe to the online streaming service that has the Game of Thrones. So if I want to stream it, it would be like $125 a month or something like that for one show. And like, nobody's going to go get a satellite cable subscription for one TV show. Like, that's just not a thing. Another example was like that Star Trek that came out, literally unavailable in Canada.
You weren't really missing it much.
Exclusive. Oh, no, I know. And I've seen the episodes, and I realized the Orville was a way better Star Trek than the Star Trek was.
Damn right.
But, there's literally no place in Canada because it was exclusive to their streaming service, which was only available in the United States. Therefore, there's no option for watching it in Canada unless you want to wait a year.
Jeez. So, yeah, of course you're going to go pirate it then because... I mean, it's not like communities are not talking to each other across international boundaries anymore. I mean, almost any first world nation is on the internet and they're talking to people and they can see clips and they see this shit. So, you know, the fact that you don't get it for a year just because you happen to live in a different part of the world is kind of dumb, especially when you actually have a global communications network that doesn't really give a fuck about geographic borders.
Yeah.
So...
And, you know, like, it's really a lost opportunity. Like, when you see people pirating, it's not because they're cheapskates, and it's not because, like, oh, they like pirating. It's just because it's more convenient. I rarely ever pirate anymore now that I've got Netflix and Amazon Prime. And it's because it's far more convenient for me to go watch something on Netflix than it would be to ever go pirate it.
Oh, sure.
They make it so difficult for you to access their media that people just go for the easier solution, which ends up being piracy in some situations.
So let's see here, back in the article, as more and more companies jump into the streaming race, they're cordoning off must-have content into a wider and wider array of exclusivity silos. Disney, for example, will soon be pulling most of its fare from Netflix as it launches its own streaming service this year. Studies have shown that nearly every major broadcaster will have launched their own streaming service by 2022. And that these companies are increasingly choosing to keep their own content in-house as exclusives in order to drive subscriptions. You know, that's the other thing. If the only reason I'm subscribing to your service and paying $10 a month or whatever it is for one show, When that show's not on, I'm probably canceling that subscription.
Yep.
You know, I've got very little incentive to stick around if there's only one show on your service I care about. And you're right, I'm more likely to just go pirate it or find a streaming site that's aggregating off of pirated sources than I am to try and deal with hopping through your bullshit. Not to mention, when you do try to see, like, especially TV shows, right? They want all your cable information to let you stream it. And
yeah,
it's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm not putting this shit out in there into a random database. So, also, I don't have TV service anymore because I refuse to pay for a service I'm not going to use. And
everybody went away from cable because you end up paying like $70 a month for a bunch of channels you don't watch.
I literally get something in the mail together every other day from my cable company trying to get me to add TV to my service. Literally every other day, at least during the summer.
Yeah, like I've had cable before, and I would watch like three channels, and that would be it. But yeah. No, you can't just like pay for those three channels. You got to pay for their basic package plus all the add-ons to get the channels that you want to watch.
Yeah, and we're back to the South Park, you know, flipping the shirt flaps down and rubbing the nipples as they talk about this shit, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like fuck that. I'll go to BitTorrent, or I'll go to, you know, the Open Directory subreddit, or I'll go to whatever and just find it, and not have to put up with the bullshit. And you know, when Disney pulls all of its shit from Netflix, I mean, you're not going to see this massive migration of people over to Disney. You're going to see Netflix starting to make their own kids shows so that, you know, people don't leave, and then you're going to have even more.
Well, honestly, like, Disney does put out a lot of good quality content.
Sure.
I'd say arguably Disney may have a better library than Netflix at one point.
I'm just saying my point is Netflix isn't going to just sit on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm you know, if it's $10 a month for the Disney Channel, it means you get all the Marvel movies and everything like that. I might consider it.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, if the prices are reasonable,
yeah,
and there is enough there, you probably will have people say, oh yeah, I'll pay for that. I mean, there are a lot of people who are paying for HBO Go for a handful of shows.
But I guarantee you, they're going to remove all their stuff from Netflix, and they're going to have their own proprietary streaming service that's only available in the United States.
Well, and you know, here's the thing is, okay, let's say Disney pulls all their crap from Netflix. Then you have this interesting scenario of how many people are just on Netflix primarily for Disney stuff, and they'll follow over to the Disney, and how many of it are on Netflix for, you know, other stuff, you know, like say the Netflix stuff, and I'm just, you're going to start getting this silo of people. You're not going to be able to. I'm just wondering, you're going to start seeing like how many people just put on whatever on Netflix because they just want, you know, something playing in the background, right?
That's me.
You're going to see what shows are actually popular, what groups of content actually people care about. Because, like, with the Star Trek one, I don't see a lot of people flocking to whatever CBS's online streaming service was for that, especially when the show was bad. But, you know, so if you've only got that one exclusive show, it's not going to help you. So, I don't know. I'm not certain about these exclusivity things because I feel like it's a bad way to go. But at the same time, I like the competition because, you know, Netflix isn't going to just sit there and take that. They'll start making their own kid shows and maybe you'll see something better come out of it. I don't know. I'm not certain where I land on this. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing, but that people are going back to piracy because it's easier. Shouldn't be surprised. That's not a surprise at all.
Yeah, it's just more of an accessibility thing as opposed to people being cheap and, you know, it's all being siloed. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Everything May just said, that's my stance too.
Fair enough.
But it's the same thing like with Netflix here, man. We don't get half the content you guys have got. I'm not paying for that.
I don't blame you.
You know, and same with the HBO, though. I'm not signing up for five different things just to watch one show a week and have it interrupted constantly because we've got shitty internet in this country. Why pay for a bad product?
That's totally another thing. I refuse to spend money on a service that forces ads down your throat.
Yeah.
Like, if they're giving you ads, they're making money from you watching their stuff. So why are you paying them to watch their stuff as well? They're getting money on both ends.
Remember back in the day when I had cable, and then suddenly cable had one ad every hour. Then cable had two ads every hour. Then cable had two ads every half hour. And then it was exactly like free-to-air TV.
Yep.
And nowadays it's pretty much 15 minutes of show, 15 minutes of ad.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's terrible because it, like, you get just really start, like, especially with movies and stuff, like, you really start getting into it, and, like, and they always do it, like, right at the climax because they know you're going to, like, sit there through the ads because
yep,
you want to see
hook.
What happens next. Okay. So they just totally break the immersion and the experience of the show that you're watching.
Well, it's, and some shows are really bad like that. Like, of course, my parents still have TV, so when I go back and visit the parents, they'll be watching something. And it's really funny because you know when the commercial break's coming because the dramatic music's queued up. They're zooming in on everybody's face and commercial break.
Yep.
Especially on some of these shows where it's like competitions and shit like that.
What I've been getting annoyed with some of my piracy stuff, like, you want the latest movie, you know, it's just come out, so you're willing to have a little bit of a cam version or something like that if it's decent sound. And the fucking piracy dudes who have made it put their own ads in the movie.
Oh, fuck
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's for Chinese underground gambling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Oh, jeez.
I've only seen it on, like, the cutting edge. Like, okay, the movie came out an hour ago, and there's a cam version. You know what I mean? So,
anyways, let's see. Next article, and this is one RU sent me. It's from the BBC. Fitbit data used to charge U.S. man with murder. Where's my overly dramatic sound? Fitbit data has been used by U.S. police investigating whether a 90-year-old man or 90-year-old murdered his stepdaughter. The victim, Karen Navaria, 67, was found with a kitchen knife in her hand, suggesting she killed herself. Anthony Aleo, who denies murder, told police he had visited her for 15 minutes to drop off pizza. But police say I keep getting kicked off the IRC. That's obnoxious.
Banned.
I'm shadow banning you.
Yeah, they didn't like the soundboard. But, where was I? We're not, like, losing the stream. I mean, I'm not getting kicked off
stream. No, just checked it. We're fine.
Yeah, it's just IRC is being shitty. Police say a fitness tracker she was wearing showed a significant spike in heart rate, followed by a rapid slowdown at the time he was there. Mr. Aleo was arrested in San Jose, California in September and is due in court later on Thursday. According to police statements obtained by USA Today, Ms. Navarro's Fitbit Alta device showed a raised heart rate at about 15:20 local time when video evidence suggested Mr. Aleo's car was at her house. It then recorded her heart rate slowing rapidly and then stopping at 15:28, 5 minutes before he left. This is not the first time Fitbit data has been used in a murder case. Last year in the U.S., Richard DeBate was charged with murdering his wife after data from her Fitbit discredited his version of events, according to police. Mr. Debate has said he had seen his wife, Connie, shot by an intruder more than an hour before her fitness tracker had recorded her last movements, they said. He pleaded not guilty and is awaiting trial. So it's not the aggressors wearing the Fitbit, it's the victims. Because, and actually, you know, that's not bad data that the Fitbit is showing when the heart stops. So it may not be an exact time of death, but it's probably pretty close.
Yeah, better than any coroner's going to give you.
Yeah.
So
takes away the approximate time of death, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it's recording your pulse, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just another thing that assassins in the future are going to have to pay attention to.
Sit there and pump the dead body to mess with the Fitbit data. No, at that point, you just take the Fitbit off of them and wear it for a bit before you chuck it in a dumpster. So, but
note, throw in dumpster.
No, put it on the dog.
Yeah.
Just bring a dog with you. Go to the pound before you go. Bring a dog. You know, they might not have a dog.
We had that idea with the, they were going to charge you extra on your insurance if you didn't, your health insurance if you didn't exercise.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, stick it on the dog. Why is the man nearly having a heart attack every time the mail arrives?
Mr. Johnson, we've been checking your fitness tracker data, and it appears you're about to have puppies. So, anyways.
Yeah, so if you're going to kill someone and lie about it, make sure their data matches up to your lies.
And, you know, like, I'm sure phones and stuff like that could be used for the exact same thing.
Siri, I'm having a home invasion.
Playing fuck the police, Dave.
No, take pictures of my killer, Siri.
Yes, Mrs. Johnson,
your
husband was murdered brutally. We do not know who did it, but here's a high-res DVD copy of the murder we caught on CCTV. And the moment that they started recording and screaming for help in a beautiful MP3 format.
We do not know who the murderer was, but we currently suspect the cell phone and are currently attempting to interrogate Siri. It's currently Google searching every one of our questions.
Wait.
You never actually used Siri. Half the time, the shit you yell at it, it just does a search for it.
Oh, okay. Google,
that's what I thought it was.
It used to be Google. I think they've switched it off to their own service now.
Okay.
Oh, next story is from itpro.co.uk, and it's just funny. Let's see. Yep, pasting links now. July's drop in TrickBot malware, likely due to criminals being distracted by the football, experts say. I believe they're, Americans would call it soccer, just for clarification, but football may not have come home, but it did at least reduce the number of malware attacks while the drama was unfolding. There's at least one possibility floated by Confidence Intelligence, which has produced some research that demonstrates a marked drop in TrickBot malware attacks in July after a sustained increase throughout April and June. It wasn't just the number of attacks dropping either. Confidence noted that, con and defense. I got it. Confidence. That makes sense. Okay. Bad name. Noted that while TrickBot phishing lures are typically sufficiently authentic looking to fool victims into handing over banking information, the samples captured in July were incredibly simplistic. Analysis of all TrickBot campaigns between May and September found that around 10% of attacks took place in June, compared to 51% of campaigns taking place in July, sharply falling to 10% again in August. It's believed TrickBot campaign activity fell by as much as 41% during June and August. Wait, that doesn't match up with that 10% of attacks took place in June compared to 51%. Oh, okay. I misread it.
World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. So the lulls coincided with a noticeable decline in the sophistication of attacks, deviating from the elaborate emails that normally try to masquerade as legitimate notes from banking institutions. The belief is that TrickBot's resources may have been spread thin during this time, and that the criminals may have been reliant on low-skilled freelance hackers. It may seem odd to think of malware operators in the same way as we think of employees of other sectors, but Confidence thinks that these phoned-in efforts could well be the result of the World Cup and summer holiday season distracting the usually fastidious TrickBot operators. Certainly, activity picked up again towards the end of the month after the tournament came to an end. Other possibilities mooted include fewer people during the distribution work and TrickBot operators using the summer to curate other flavors of malware. Elsewhere, Confluence Intelligence noted an increase in the Emot and Jito Trojan from mid-July through August and a resurgence of the AZO root malware. And an updated... when are they going to stop just naming these things goofy names and just start numbering them? Because there's enough of them. Anyways. updated version of the Hermes ransomware. The new version's distributed method bears a striking similarity to Sigma and Grand Crab, leaving confidence workers weathering the same hacking groups might be responsible for the this upgrade. I just love the idea that, you know, it's like, oh, World Cup time. They're not trying so hard to do the fraud,
hey,
right,
man,
now.
Hackers need time off and need love as well.
Hackers are people, too.
Yeah, they are.
So, but it's actually not that surprising, because in several foreign companies, running malware systems like this is actually basically considered a job. Like, there are companies that's what they do, is they run malware, they break into various corporations, and because they're farming money, and they're just basically running companies off of it, because as long as they don't target their domestic, most places, especially in China and Russia and several places in the Middle East, they don't care that you're hacking Americans. They're like, well, they're Americans. They probably deserve it, right? Or they're rich. They can afford to lose it. So they don't care that you're going after Americans. As long as you don't go after, you know, your own native country, that's when you get in trouble. So I could, they're probably totally set up as companies.
Well, you look at those Indian call centers, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can rent one for 30 days for $5,000, and they'll run any script you want.
Yeah, I've been getting a ton of those lately, too.
But yeah, it's a full-time job.
So, anyways, let's, I don't know, Suave, do you have anything on that before I do the Digital Dojo sound?
No, I got nothing.
So, two things for us tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is from rootshell.com, and it's a nice little trick using the XSLT proc utility to turn in-map scans into HTML-based reports. So, pretty much, you take the XML output of in-map and you run it through this tool, and you get a nice little HTML report of all your hosts. It's pretty basic, it's pretty simple, but at the same time, it's a nice trick, and it's good to know if you're parsing through in-map scans of several thousand machines trying to make sense of it all. So, this will probably work with other tools that output XML as well, but you'll need the correct formatting for whatever the HTML formatting is. So, anyways, because you need the style sheet that goes with that format. So you'll, I can actually start seeing other tools that put out XML having, you know, a collection of these different formats for them, so you can just turn them into web reports nice and easily. But anyways, it's just a nice trick. It's just some, you know, Linux how-to there. And I just thought it was kind of handy. All right, having wowed everybody with that one.
So, this is not something I'm going to use.
This is very applicable to my life.
Yeah, it's just not something I'm going to use, man.
Speak for yourself.
I get it. Yeah.
All right.
You have our preferences.
And so it's been something like 6 years for this next one.
Uh-oh.
Haiku OS has actually released Beta 1.
Going to be as useful as Temple OS.
Maybe. But it'll actually at least run on real hardware. But yeah, it's
been... So what is Haiku OS?
Haiku is an open source operating system. It's not a Linux, it's not a BSD, it's own independent. Okay. They're basing it off BOS. Like the old Amiga shit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's supposedly crazy fast, and it is binary compatible with old BOS binaries, or at least it's supposed to be. So anyways, on September 28th, they released Beta 1, which the thing had been on Alpha 4 for 6 years. So yeah, worth playing with, worth looking at, because It's been one of those things that you occasionally check to see if there's been a release. There's still activity in their code tree, so they're still developing it. They just really haven't done a release in 6 years. But at one point, their download page said, don't use this. Go get the nightlies and hope for the best. But yeah, they've actually done an official beta release. It's probably buggy as all get right now because they just released it. But supposedly it's feature complete for their beta. And
This is amazing to me. Like, honestly, like, I haven't heard of like a new OS like in forever. It's always just been like something Linux based.
Yeah, no, this is completely independent. Now, I do think that they are using some of the Linux drivers and stuff like that, at least not directly. I think they're using it as like, okay, here's how you talk to this hardware, and then they're re-implementing it for their kernel.
Right.
But, Cycros with the XKCD joke there. Yeah, it's worth playing with because it's the operating system of the future, the distant future. there's an XKCD comic that has timeline of operating systems, and it's, you know, of course, it starts off with CPM and BASIC and, you know, gets to modern era and then, you know, has it has like some big war and this big gap, and then it's like GNU Herd is released. So, but yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, Cycros is right. BSD, Windows absolutely did that and stole BSD's TCP IP stack. So so it's not actually a problem that Haiku is taking inspiration from the other OSs. But I think because in Linux, they can actually look at the code for a lot of the drivers. I think they're using that as models for getting hardware drivers working. But I'm definitely going to have to play with this as well. Because I know for a while there, they were saying, don't put this on hardware, run it in a VM. You know, sort of like, but I think now they're saying you can run it on hardware again, or at least they were. And I saw that post somewhere. So I don't know if that's actually accurate or not. Maybe that was on the Slashdot article about the beta coming out. Please keep in mind, it's beta quality software, is feature complete, but it still contains known and unknown bugs. Cannot protect against data loss. Yeah, so, okay, I don't know where it was. But,
Here's a question about the Haiku OS. Sorry, I'm...
No, it's cool.
What about software? Because, like, there can't really be anything for it.
There's actually a surprising amount.
Okay.
If you go to... First of all, because it's compatible with the old BOS software, all that stuff works. I saw a demo of it where somebody had loaded up OpenOffice, Blender, several of the other open source software that they can just recompile for it.
Okay, gotcha.
But if you go to BE Bytes, which is like be.wildman-productions.org, they've got a whole bunch of the old BOS software listed out. And there was a Haiku software repository floating around somewhere too, but I don't remember where it went.
Okay.
Softwaredepot.altervista.org. Yeah. And they've got a bunch of different software for it there too. So anyways, but yeah, because all the old BOS software works on it, there is software for it. Plus they've put out a web browser and, you know, some of the other open source software they've compiled for it. One of the screenshots I saw, they actually had OpenShot running on it. So if they continue development of it, this could be a real contender for probably lower end, like netbook and embedded style systems, like Raspis and stuff like that. But because it's a very efficient operating system. So I imagine it being kind of a, oh, what was the one that used to QNX. QNX is what I'm thinking of. But anyways, so I just thought it was cool that they actually released a beta.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if netbooks still exist or not, Cycros. I just, first thing that came to mind, because that was the first thing I ever put Haiku OS on, was a Dell Mini 9.
I think it's all tablets that you can attach keyboards to nowadays.
Well, that's what I mean. I have something that would qualify as a netbook. It's that Lenovo Yoga Book running Android. So
yeah,
I mean that's kind of a netbook, but
I think that's still just a tablet with the attachable keyboard.
Dude, I do. I still have that netbook. I think it's downstairs on a bookcase.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got like an, what is it, the Acer Aspire 1?
Yeah.
Floating around here.
I'm going to have to put Haiku on a netbook.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That thing's just been sitting there.
So, anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking will not be every Thursday. We are definitely taking the next couple of weeks off, potentially all of October, but at least taking the next 2 weeks off. If it's an x86 Chromebook right now, it probably would, Psychros. He's saying I wonder if it'd run on a Chromebook. Like, if you get one that you could blow out the BIOS on, I forget the project name. There's a project that lets you put a PC-compatible BIOS on the Intel Chromebooks. You have to usually open them up and take out the write protect screw to do it, but it's actually not that hard to do. I have done it on a Chromebook in the past, a little Samsung Chromebook, and did have a version of Linux on it for about a month until it shit the bed and I put Chrome OS back on it, but that was more me tinkering with it than anything. Right, so end of the show. The show is going on hiatus for a couple of weeks, probably two, if not the, probably it's certainly the next 2 weeks, if not the rest of the month. Of course, we're always working on the stream. Closing thoughts, Suave. When are you bringing back IGN?
Sometime in 2037.
It's on the calendar. Got it. You have any other closing thoughts?
I just am so stoked for Haiku OS. You have no idea. This is like the best thing.
I'm glad I
can't wait to install it on something and check it out.
I'm glad I could enrich your life there, Swolf. That's what we do around here, is we bring enrichment.
Wait, what?
Oh, I'm passing out.
Oops. I didn't mean to hit that one. Anyways.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
Are you closing thoughts?
I will be bringing back IHN sometime after now.
All right. So that's all I've got. Kind of a shorter show tonight, but we got a late start and having issues. So I think I'm going to go ahead and play the Pac-Man sound and close this out.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Oh, I'm passing out.
Fucking trackpad.